Okay, I'm calling to order the Kenosha County Board of Health for Tuesday, August 8th. We are conducting this meeting via a hybrid model. So we have some people here in person and we have some people who are online. And we are recording for posterity. All right, we are going to defer the approval of the minutes from January 10th. February 14th, March 14th, April 11th, May 9th, and June 13th until the October 10th in-person meeting. Do we have any public comments? Public comments. Call again for public comments. If not, then I will close public comments. President's comments. I just want to point out that things are interesting and difficult with what's happening via COVID right now. We do have a slight uptick. There's an uptick nationally. There is an uptick locally. However, the details of that we're going to talk about later. I've heard that norovirus is also an issue right now, and we do have the beach at Simmons Island is also closed because of the rip currents, and we really don't want people to go swimming there because bad things happen when people don't know what they're doing in rip currents. So please, for the public, please follow the directions on that. And apart from that, that is all I have. I'm going to pass it over to the Health Officer's Director's Report.
Good afternoon, everybody, those in the room and those that were meeting remotely. I have a couple announcements today. The second Kenosha Thrive Action Team meeting was held at the end of July. We had approximately 30 participants, really good dialogue, and we're starting to focus on the objectives that we will agree on at our last and final meeting at the end of this month. So I'm appreciative to everybody. We had a couple of members of this board attend and great dialogue and brainstorming at the meeting. We have a very new opioid report that was developed from our epidemiologist. This report was shared today at the Substance Abuse Coalition meeting. And will be shared at the next stimulus committee meeting, opioid stimulus committee meeting at the end of August. It's something that we haven't pulled together as far as our reporting capabilities go. So I will have Dan come and present this at one of our next meetings. He has great skill from a science perspective, pulling together this work. There was really nothing in it that it was surprising. Fentanyl is still our top issue, and white towards middle-aged males are our most our highest volume right now. We have in the last 2 weeks had and probably a lot of you heard this, but we had a string of fatal overdoses, 6 of them. Our CORI team responds to successful overdoses. And we've been having much success with that. We've had 53 CORI runs since we started in February this year. Just last week, we've had our most successful run where if we've got 2 or 3 folks to visit, usually we're lucky to get one. In this particular run, we got all three folks. We've had a couple of very heartwarming success stories. I believe I shared one of them with you at one of our last meetings, but meeting folks at where they're at, and we're really trying to establish connection and an immediate connection if we're standing in front of them, linking them to our nurse practitioner. So continuing to improve on our processes, but we've had some success with that team. Speaking of that team, there has been a gap because currently our contract is with Kenosha Fire and EMS. So we do get the demographics on a successful overdose saved from them. If the gap really is, though, if they show up to the emergency departments and they're not transported by EMS, we don't get client base. So we have spoken with both hospitals, Aurora and Frater, related to signing an MOU with them to release the patient demographic data so we can also respond to those cases. So far, effective yesterday, we have a signed agreement with Aurora for sharing their demographic data. It was really the ER medical staff who encouraged this partnership. So I'm currently working with the leadership at Aurora right now to establish their key stakeholders that we can work with and get our communications between us going. So I'll keep you posted on that. We have two large events coming up very soon. We have our health fair on August 10th, which will be held at Brass from 3 to 5. The focus of that is getting kids immunized, and our goal is to reduce the number of exclusions that we might see in the Kenosha Unified School District starting, you know, in the fall. This is the first time in a long time that we've gone out mobile with immunizations. When I first started here and we were still giving COVID vaccines and we were talking about going to the schools, the staff said, absolutely not, taking immunizations, you know, mobile is way too complicated, but hands down to all those fast thinking and innovative minds in the clinic. And we are going to do that starting on Thursday. We have 26 vendors that are coming. So we're really hoping that it's a well-attended event, 500 backpacks that we have to give away. And we've advertised this as much as we could think of. So that is this week. County Fair starts next week. We have dedicated staff, two shifts each day from noon to 4 and 4 to 8. So we'll be out there, and our primary purpose out there is Narcan training. But of course, our staff who are out there will have all the other information from all of our other programs to share. Two more things. Our health department staff, effective yesterday, has come back to the office almost full time. We have given them the option of one remote day a week, and we'll see how that goes. But for now, everybody's back 4 days a week, and it's starting to feel alive and collaborative up there. So I'm really happy about that. And then last, but maybe not least, is I did receive an offer to become the new health officer here in Kenosha County. I was provided that offer after an interview that I had with County Executive Kirkman and John Jansen and two other directors from Human Services. That was back in early May of this year. We haven't said anything because I don't meet all level 3 health department requirements. The one I'm lacking is, I have my bachelor's in nursing, master's in healthcare administration. I've worked as a clinical leader for 35 plus years in large healthcare organizations. However, I have not worked consecutively 3 years as a public health leader. So that is what we were working on. We do have an MOU with Racine County and Jeff Langlieb, who I do know by now. The only decision that I can't make is if we have another pandemic or if businesses need to close or if we have to give an order of any sort, I can't provide that. And Jeff would step in and provide that. So technically what they're calling me is a director of health, director of public health, and the officer title will be uploaded into the state database in April of next year. However, I will be board approved in September. So early September, I'll go through my appointment will be recommended through the county board. It'll go to Human Services after that. So I'll attend Human Services and then I'll come back and attend the county board for any further questions that they have. Any questions related to anything, any updates I gave you? And by the way, I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely loving this work. and enjoying the position, and I'm thankful.
Well, I can ask a question.
Yes.
As far as the actual, like that after, is there any special training or anything else that she needed to do?
No other training requirement. We are a level three. So if we were a level two health department, this stipulation of having 3 years in public health would not be there. But because we're level three, the leader needs 3 years in leadership in public health. I had a lot of related leadership when I was a emergency services director at Children's, because I had the ED and our transport team and all of our urgent cares in the poison center. But even though we thought that might pass, it doesn't. They're very rigid on meeting those requirements, which I appreciate. And so, yes, I can act in any decision. Clearly, I'm here as the interim. But when I get board approved, I believe I still will not be called officer until April of next year, when that is my 3rd year anniversary in a leadership role here. It doesn't take away from anything I can do operationally or decision making. Just that one large, if we have to close or if we have to order something, whatever, I just can't do it.
And we have a backup.
And we have a backup. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Jeff Langlieb, he's the health officer in Racine County.
Okay.
There used to be, and it has just started again, a public health officer orientation that was clearly halted during COVID. So that just started again. It's 3 full days or 3+ full days of in-person training that WALDAP is doing for us. And I got in when I was offered the position by the county executive in May, the first one was right after that. So I'm attending all three of those. I have attended 2 of the 3 now. And interestingly enough, a lot of the Southeastern region health offices are new as well in the last 3 years. So they're all attending with me. So I've had the opportunity already to meet and collaborate with them and get to know them. So any other questions related to that? So you guys have me for a while.
Good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you see any change in the direction of policies from what we had?
No.
I understand you don't have total control over that.
Yeah. Yes. Not really. Okay. If I had to share a goal with you or a vision of mine, it's really to get public health and the work that we do known and respected again. And since I've filled in for Jen, since she's been gone, that's the work that I've, you know, begun to try to do. We have fabulous programs. I know you guys all know that, and a lot going on. And I just really want the community to recognize that once again.
It's a problem.
It's a statewide and national problem for sure.
Sure. Mark, before that, our college for occupational environmental medicine is in public health. That's why I've got a postdoc in public health. And there are only about maybe 30 of us in the state that are board certified. They're all my age. They're all in their 70s.
Yes.
It's this whole area is severe need of more funding, more recognition.
Yes. As a matter of fact, we're embarked in I may not have all the full details, but we have been asked, every local health department has been asked to fill out it's an assessment of our financial capital capacity. And the purpose of that is to pull everybody's data together to show how poorly funded, especially the state of Wisconsin is. And, you know, who knows what can come from that, but it's a statewide initiative. So
I think that was a good choice, and I'm encouraged that gonna try to stay the course on
Yes.
the goals.
Yes, yes, thank you.
I'm talking over the past couple of weeks, or actually a couple of months, I have seen an increased visibility from the health department being active.
Yes, yes.
I was at the National Night Out.
Yes.
So every event that I've been going to, there's an increased presence, and that's a good thing to see. And, you know, we just need to continue to support the initiatives, support the staff going out, and, you know, make sure that, at least from a business standpoint, the business owners understand the importance of it, and make sure that the business owners are supporting the initiatives.
Yeah, thank you. Yep, we should have a lot of exposure this Thursday and out at the county fair, so. And we have had, I don't have all of the, we could send you all the lists of events that we've been to, especially this past summer. I mean, many of them, but I think the two that are coming up are probably our key highlight large events that we're going to have. Of course, Mark's team is out, you know, everywhere. But that's not always as visual as when we have a table and we're sharing our programs. Okay. So let me introduce Mark Maltek. I think probably everybody knows Mark. Is there anybody who doesn't know Mark as our environmental health manager? All right. Mark's going to talk to us a little bit about what's going on in environmental health in the last several months.
Well, we're looking forward to the county fair, so I thought we'd talk about some of the special events we've been doing. We inspect all the special events for their food. If you didn't know, but we do a little more prep before that. We also check the water if they're on a well, like the fairgrounds is on a well, so we all have been out there a month ago checking the water. But my group, we go out there and we inspect all the food. Now, the food travels from around the state and collects here, either at the harbor market, the public market. These are all places that, you know, are big tourist attractions. So it brings a lot of money into Kenosha County. It's important that way. We had our groups out at Country Thunder checking all the food out there. And at, like I said, next week we'll all be out there for the county fair. What we do is, actually this spring, we put a training together for all temporary restaurants. We put that on with the harbor market and the public market, and we show people what we look for when we do an inspection. We provide everybody with a checklist so they can, if they meet the checklist on their own, they're going to go through the inspection process pretty easy. So that's included to everybody. We also, on the training, we show them what we look for on bacteria-wise, what causes a foodborne outbreak, what they have to look for, how they can prevent that from occurring. You know, simple things like hand washing is the number one cause of a foodborne outbreak, people spreading germs with their hands, okay? But when we're dealing with stuff built, made outside, now we're looking at temperature controls. So that's a big issue. And if they have electric or not, because a lot of events don't have power that's available for everybody. So, or if it's an event that lasts either one night or 3 days, because if it's 3 days, then people have to learn how to cool their foods down if they have leftovers to use them again. So these are all things we have to worry about. We were out last weekend at the Renaissance Fair, you know, and they serve a lot of people in a short amount of time. So they're cooking a lot, and hopefully not having to cool because they don't want to keep it till the next day. But it's been working out well, and each year we're getting more and more special events. Our leg prints being used every weekend, you know, for something, and that all brings money into our community, you know. So we're fortunate for that, because Racine doesn't have as many events as they used to. You know, it seems to Kenosha kind of open their arms to a lot of these big events. So, but we're going to keep inspecting them and still keep providing education to our vendors. The biggest part of our training that we put on is when we talk to people on how to get licensed. people are afraid of that, or they just don't know. So that we spend the majority of our time going through what they're thinking of doing and how that would work, you know, don't do it outside without power, without water, things like that. So it's really fortunate. A lot of people got into business getting that way, and then they get their start going down to the harbor market. You know, we had a couple that expanded from, you know, doing the temporary events like that to actually owning a storefront. So it's some success stories there. But we like to do the training. It doesn't have to be the formal one that we put on in the spring. If they want to set up an appointment with one of our inspectors, we're always willing to sit down and go through the process with them. Any questions?
If you guys, if any of you haven't seen it, Karen sent out updated email with all of Mark's information that he just shared this morning. Questions related to food inspection or anything Mark's team does?
We're limited on food today.
All right. Thank you, Mark. All right. This is Leanne Block, who's going to give us a policy update.
Hello. So I am the population health manager, as well as on the policy and advocacy committee for WPHA and WLDAB. So we've been talking about the shared revenue bill for the past couple of months. It's officially signed into law. It includes health officer authority changes and some additional dollars coming into municipalities. And there will be some additional guidance for local health officers coming out in October. So Lori will get that information, as well as the rest of them in the state. We reviewed the following bills, and I might throw this back to Mark because one of them is considering water information. So PFAS, which he can probably explain a little bit more than I can. Senate Bill 312 and Assembly Bill 312. WPHA and WLDAB previously registered as other and included our comments. And then we reached out to the environmental health section of WPHA and WLDAB, which Mark is the chair. So I'm going to have him talk a little bit about what PFAS is, because it's a foreign language to me. So I'm going to put it right back to Mark.
PFAS is a chemical that was first found by the airports. It was a foam that people used to put out fires. Well, it seeped into the groundwater in some of these areas, and it's one of those chemicals that they call forever chemicals because it doesn't go away. So Dane County started several years ago where they identified it in their public wells. Okay, and since then they've added Eau Claire public water and Wausau public water. Wausau's treating it, you know, and each one, some of them shut down wells, but the active level is really low. It's 30 parts per trillion. So most laboratories can't even detect something like that. So the state is putting this bill together to help allow funding to people to address it in their homes. You know, if you have PFAS and you didn't cause the contamination, then you shouldn't be the one paying for it. So this is allows a homeowner to get money to put a system in or a new well in. That'll get rid of the PFAS. Now, just drilling a new well is no guarantee that you're going to get safe water because the aquifer is contaminated, and sometimes you don't know where the contamination came from. I know there's one town up just east of Rhinelander where they went in. All the homes had 1,000 parts per million of this PFAS. So the people were very distraught considering you just told them that they have no water in this little town, and their homes were worthless. So they're trying to find some systems to put in some so they can get rid of it. But just drilling down deeper, they're not finding any safe water there. So, but bills like this help us to address, you know, and hopefully locate where, that's the only reason they found this. And I think it's called Stanley was the town. But we did a sampling of the whole state. It was a random sampling that they set up, and this town got hit, you know. So, and we can't find where the source was because there's no manufacturing there. There are those airports there, you know. All we have are farms there, but people would put waste from factories over farm fields back in the day, and they think that's what occurred. So, so bills like this are to address, you know, problems that we're having. It's going to get worse before it gets better, because if it's in the water system, next thing you know, it goes into your waste system. Waste systems generally end up into Lake Michigan or the Mississippi River, and they just spread it all over. So this is something that's all over the country. It's not just Wisconsin.
Has there been any testing in Kenosha County?
Yes.
And did we have any?
So nothing of active levels or anything.
So we were below active level.
Yes. Okay.
Can that change?
They can change, but we're using water from Lake Michigan for the most part. So, which is a lot bigger water source than inlet water.
So people who have wells who come in to get their testing done.
Correct.
They does get that, that get, does, is that part of the testing?
We're not going to test that. That would be a private lab. Tests are expensive for those, but the state did do some testing in Kenosha County as part of the random sampling, okay, and they did not find anything detectable here.
But that's a voluntary as far as private owners, homeowners.
Right, right. They're doing some more testing right now. They just got one company that will provide testing for $200 a sample, which is really reasonable considering what we're looking for here.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, much better than I could have done. The other bills that we looked at were Assembly Bill 304 and Senate Bill 332, which is an alcohol regulation bill. So a little bit about this. It proposes to overhaul the alcohol laws in Wisconsin. If enacted, the bill would change Wisconsin laws for production, regulation, and distribution of alcoholic beverages, and change how alcohol is regulated and oversight is provided. So they gave us a whole memo, and I'm happy to share this with anybody that is interested in this, because there's a lot of information. There's 10 significant changes in this bill for alcohol regulation. It would allow for greater production of alcoholic beverages in the state, increasing the accessibility of ready-to-drink cocktails, fermented malt beverages, wine, and intoxicating liquors. It would also extend closing hours for licensed premises, increase production arrangements, and increase available retail sites for those holding permits. So there's a lot of changes in this bill. One of the ones that I thought was very interesting was at axe throwing places, they can provide alcohol, but they also can have children available or out at these places. So while axes are being thrown and while alcohol is being consumed, there can be children on the premises. And so there's a lot of parts to this, a lot of moving parts. So I'm happy to share the information with Karen so she can get that out to the group. Let's see, the other bills that we looked at were LRB 3855 and LRB 3848, and they both involve designating athletic sports and teams operated or sponsored by schools, private schools, universities, participating in a parental choice program based on the sex of the participants, and the other one is University of Wisconsin and technical college sports and athletic teams based on the sex of the participants. So we talked at length about these bills. We thought as a group that these proposals have a lot of discrimination in them, and our values at WPAJ and WALDAB are inherently non-discriminatory. So we wanted to make sure that when this is introduced, we would register in opposition of this. The last thing that came across as a bill, sometimes we meet once a month and then things come across our electronically for us to vote on. So we voted to support the fatality review legislation overview that just came across this week. So this proposed legislation would encompass child death review teams, overdose fatality review teams, infant mortality review teams, and suicide review teams. So in Kenosha County, we have a child death review team and an overdose fatality review team. So the legislation would identify the process for establishing these recognized teams, which there are numerous across the state of Wisconsin. It would clearly define the purpose, structure, and confidentiality of the review process and resolve back barriers to information sharing. So our OVFR in Kenosha is starting up again, and we are going to have our first meeting on August 31st. So we're excited to see some of this legislation come across as well.
Ours has been for several months while we restructured the team. So it's about to kick off.
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
Thank you. Corporation Council's report.
Hi, everyone. I don't really have anything new to report.
Thank you, Jen.
All right. Well, thank you for being here.
Yes.
Of course, of course.
Any other business as allowed by law? Any other business? Any other business? Close that. Any closing board comments? Does anybody from the board have anything that is appropriate for the Board of Health? Yeah. Anyone? Okay. In that
I just
case.
Want to say congratulations to Lori.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Rita.
Thanks, Rita.
All right. If nothing else, I'll take a motion to adjourn. It has been moved. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All those in favor say aye. Chair votes aye. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.